All right, let's have a prayer and we can get into it. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for another Sabbath. Thank you for bringing us here. Even though there's a few of us, please be with us as we discuss your word. Get to grips with mercy today. So please be with us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, guys, basically today, we're just going to be answering some questions, to be honest. There's not going to be a lot of... there's not going to be a lot of talking in the sense of me just spouting off stuff. It's mostly going to be just us answering questions and seeing where we get through it from there with some Bible texts around it. So, yeah, we'll see where we end up. We're going to jump into Matthew 5:7. So if someone wants to read that, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. But just as a recap, as you find that, so we've been going through the Beatitudes, as you guys know. So the first one, poor in spirit leads you to mourn, mourning leads you to meekness, meekness leads you to hunger and thirsting after righteousness. And now we are on today. So yeah, someone wants to read Matthew 5. Verse 7. And there's no room to be shy because there's only three of you there, so you know you're gonna have to do a whole lot of reading. To be fair, there's not
I'm
that much
outside, so I have an excuse.
All right, Mary has an excuse. So that's Tyler and Daniel, you're gonna have to back it.
All right, 5 and 7, yeah.
Chapter 5, verse 7, yeah.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Cool. All right. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is mercy? Or what is someone being merciful? What is that describing?
It's odd to describe, but it's when you don't get what you deserve.
Cool. It's when you don't get what you deserve, right? So if someone does something wrong to you and you're merciful, what are you doing to them?
An act of kindness, I guess.
It is an act of kindness, for sure. But we use a specific word.
You let them go without punishment.
Say that again?
You let them go without punishment.
Cool. You let them go without punishment. Right. Cool. So there's still a specific word I'm looking for. If someone does something wrong for you and you let them go without punishment, what are you doing?
You're being merciful, right? Bro, mercy is mercy. I don't know how you expect man to break down mercy.
You're forgiving them.
You're forgiving them, right? You're forgiving them. Forgiveness.
I can kind of clue, obviously.
Yeah, Mary, you got us halfway there. Cool, right? So you're forgiving them, yeah? So when it says... blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is it talking about? Again, you know, it's just you guys here, so I don't know who you're waiting
Tyler,
for.
Tyler, this one's with you, bro.
Sorry, say that again.
If the text says blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, what is it talking about, given the fact that mercy means forgiveness?
So blessed are those that are merciful than others, because they will obtain the mercy from God.
Right, so blessed are those who forgive people, right?
Yeah.
Blessed are those who forgive, because they will get forgiveness. Yeah? And so basically what we're going to do is we're going to be asking some questions around forgiveness, around what forgiveness is, around how important it is, around what types of forgiveness there are, and hopefully we can break this down a bit more and get a bit deeper into what forgiveness is and really what is expected of us when it comes to forgiveness. Cool. So the first question is, and we should probably know the answer to this, but we're going to break it down anyway. Will God forgive me if I don't forgive others?
Oh.
It says no, because with what measure you meet, it will be meted back to you. So if you don't give out forgiveness, how are you going to expect to get forgiveness, bro?
Interesting.
Cool. I hear what Daniel's saying, but then God does forgive us regardless. Isn't that why Jesus died? Even though we're going to sin anyway, does that make sense?
I guess there's a level of forgiveness in it, because you can forgive someone and you can totally let it be, or you can come off my line, bro.
I think, as I say, if you're not forgiveful, I don't know if that's a sin, but let's say it is. Like, you forgive us of the other sins, but you haven't confessed the sin of your unforgiveness. So how can you be freed from that?
Interesting. So if we look at someone having an unforgiving spirit as a sin, and the fact that you haven't confessed it suggests that you're still saying that you're not going to forgive someone suggests that you haven't really repented or confessed that sin, and therefore, you know, that sin is still with you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's almost, you know, like, it's almost on the lines of hate. It's not as extreme, but it could be seen as that in God's eyes, maybe.
Cool. Interesting. All right. Let's go to the text. We're going to go to Matthew 18:21-35. It's a parable about forgiveness, right? And so we're going to try and answer this dilemma that kind of Mary came with, which was, well, surely God forgives me, like, first, like, because the text said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So it's almost like there's a linear thing to this. If I forgive people, then God will forgive me, right? But Mary was saying, yeah, but hang on a minute. Surely Jesus died and God is being forgiven us. So at what point, like, does this whole me forgiving other people come into the picture? Right? Yeah. In fact, let's read Matthew 6:12-15 just to make sure that, you know, this question didn't come out of nowhere, right? I'll read it quickly. You guys can stay in 18:21-35. So Matthew 6:12-15 says, and forgive our debtors as we forgive others, as we forgive our debtors, right? So forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors, that's 12. Jump into 14, it says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So this is essentially saying the same thing that we just read in Matthew 5:7. Essentially saying, look, God is not going to forgive you your sins if you don't forgive other people the sins against you, right? And so, again, we need to kind of understand how this whole forgiveness thing works based on the fact that surely, you know, Jesus was the first one to forgive. If we go to Matthew 18, and we can start reading from verse 21. You guys are being let off the hook because more people are joining. Matthew 18, verse 21-35. Just so the people know who've just joined, we're answering the question, will God forgive my sins if I don't forgive others? Will God forgive my sins if I don't forgive others? So we want to do two verses each, starting in verse 21.
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times 7? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times 7, but until 70 times 7.
Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents.
25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had to pay, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.
Then the Lord of 27, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest.
Verse 29.
And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt.
So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me.
Is it verse 33?
Verse 33, yeah.
Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart.
Awesome. Okay. So, guys, will God forgive us if we don't forgive others?
No. It's clear.
No, right? No, but why?
Because if you can't do what the same, then how can he do it for you? And bear in mind, he has to do it on a much, much larger scale than what we'll ever have to.
For true. Okay. Anyone else?
It's almost like if you can't forgive somebody else, then why do you think you deserve to be forgiven from God? Like, the exchange rates aren't really matching up.
Cool. All right. Awesome, right? So we have to understand, right, forgiveness, true forgiveness is like a stream or almost cascades. So true forgiveness comes from God, right? So we need to understand our own or appreciate our own forgiveness that God gives us, for then us to be able to forgive others properly. So this text, the problem with this text is the guy doesn't appreciate the fact that he was forgiven his debts. He had, let's call it a million. He was £1 million in debt. And he was about to not only get sold into slavery, but his wife and his children were going to follow him. And, you know, he pleaded, and you know what, the guy who, the Lord who was owed money, said, you know what, I'll forgive you. And he turned around and went straight back to a man who owed him, you know, 100 pennies, which is a pittance compared to what he was just forgiven. And he says he grabbed him by the neck and then told him to give him the money that he owed him, and then was about to dash him in jail. And other people saw this and told the Lord, and then the Lord reverts what he'd done, and et cetera, et cetera. So the problem is this: the man did not appreciate the fact that he was forgiven all of his debts, and then therefore it didn't resonate with him that someone else was in the same predicament as him. Right. So when we look at forgiveness, this whole idea, and we've talked about it before, of being poor in spirit, of being meek, of being mourning, those steps before we hit this merciful part are important, because you need to realize where you came from. the reason why you're going to be merciful to people is because really you know that you're exactly in the same position as them. Right? How many of us have felt sinned against before? Anyone? Yes. Anyone felt sinned against?
I've felt sinned against before.
You felt sinned
many,
against, right?
Many times.
Like, yeah, many times. I've definitely felt that. Right? I've definitely felt sinned against. And the automatic result of that is to get in your feelings and to seek justice. But ultimately, if you can understand your own condition to the point where we talked about being poor in spirit, mourning that condition, and therefore being humble, then you start to realize that you being sinned against is because their heart is the same as your heart. The same thing you're trying to deal with is the same thing that person is trying to deal with, and it makes you more compassionate. Right? Okay. So are we good? We're good with that question, right? If we don't forgive others, then God isn't going to forgive us. We're good with that.
Yes.
Cool. All right. We're gonna develop on this point as we go. All right. Cool. The second one. Can I feel too wronged by someone else's actions?
What do you mean? Against me or against somebody else?
Against me. So, like, if someone has wronged me, someone's done something against me, sinned against me, can I feel too, like, is there an extent in which I'm feeling overly hurt, overly wronged?
I think yes. On a personal level, I see this. I feel like feelings are considered too much in this situation. When something touches you, and you kind of can't help that it does. But because of that, we always take it harder. We feel it deeper, and I think that can, in essence, cloud our judgment a lot of the time.
Cool, cool. Interesting. Why else do you, like, does anyone else feel like they're too, you can be too, feel too wronged by someone doing something bad to you? Like, he can get too in your feelings. No, everyone feels like, you know, if you're in your feelings, it's justified, yeah? You guys got to speak to me. Too many people are mute.
It's a hard question, that's why. It depends what's the grievance. So some probably do feel justified. And, you know, when you speak to your friends and they tell you something and you feel as much as they feel aggrieved by it. So you can see it's justified, but then I want to say, but for how long do you hold that grudge in your heart? Is it a grudge that you carry on with you in your heart? Are you willing to forgive? I think there's different factors personally, but I don't think you're wrong to feel a type of way sometimes.
All right, let's be more practical. Daniel, go ahead. But just to repeat the question for Nathan, the question is, we're talking about forgiveness, right? So as the person being wronged, say if you yourself are wronged, is there a place in which you can feel too hurt by something that's happened? Or are generally you're going to be justified in feeling hurt by whatever has happened? Go ahead, Daniel. Nathan's just left.
As I was saying before, you know, feelings have a lot to do with this because you can't really speak for other people's feelings. I look at it this way. I spend a lot of time in hospital, so I see doctors and nurses and all of this stuff, and I see them, sadly, when they lose patients. Now, some of them can easily take it in stride, and some of them may be essentially crippled by it for a period of time, innit? And it's never something they have done. it's just the case, the circumstances, however you want to look at it. But obviously some people can hold a weight from that and feel like that's their responsibility, and it leaves them in a bad place. Again, I feel like there's a certain amount of this that you just have to be able to shoulder. But then I also feel like it's consciously deciding to move past things as well.
Okay, so both you and Tyler kind of agree that generally the emotional response that comes is usually justified. It just depends how you deal with it there and after you felt how you felt. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, anyone else? Does anyone else feel like, generally speaking, how we or other people react to being sinned against is generally justified, or do you think it can be overdone?
Can I speak?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I think I think it's justified to a certain extent, because sometimes things can, like you said, things can be overdone. It's okay to show that you're angry or to show that you've been wronged to some extent. But to some extent, the way sometimes people react to these things, it's as much as it's justified, it's not necessary, because you should still be able to hold yourself down within, if you're feeling emotionally heightened from whatever has happened to you.
Okay, interesting.
I just remember, you know, the verse is like, if you get slapped on the one cheek, you're supposed to turn around and show them the other cheek.
Oh, we're coming there. Story. We're coming there. Nathan.
So the question, you know, are we usually justified in feeling how we feel when people sin against us? I was just thinking, most of the time, though, we're not really thinking about it in love. We're not really thinking about it as, hey, we're all human and we make mistakes because the devil works full time. We usually just think of it as a case of, I've done this and this is, or you've done this to me and it's because you're evil. We're not blaming it on the devil. We're not, and I'm not saying that to say there's not people that are negative. There's not people that do evil things. I'm just saying, are we thinking about them with forgiveness in our head, or are we thinking about them with vengeance in our head? Oh, you did this bad thing to me. I'm now going to punish you in every way I can. Punishment is for the Lord. That's God's side. But I think sometimes we struggle to get over ourselves because we feel so entitled to our anger and our desire for vengeance.
Interesting. Ruben, are you going to say something? No? Okay, cool. All right. Very interesting. Good point. Okay. Let me ask you this question as a follow-up question then. To those who thought that it was generally could be justified, meaning Tyler, Daniel, Rido, where do you think the hurt comes from? So let's give an example so it's easier to answer that question. Let's say someone steals something from you. So let's say someone steals, say you've got some cash. I mean, how much we carry cash these days is debatable, but let's say you've got £10 in your pocket and someone steals that £10 from you, right? And you work out that it was this person who stole it, and now you've got to work out how to forgive them. What is it in you that is making you feel upset or angry or hurt by that action?
Usually, I'd say it's just the loss of something that I know I didn't give away, or something that I know I didn't consciously allow someone to take, or something like that. It feels like it's a violation of your privacy, of your space. It also feels very degrading. But that aside, a lot of the time, Reese, for me personally, I watch the world and I have a sense of sorrow in my heart because I see them doing things that will lead them in no good direction, and it genuinely makes me upset these days.
I hear you. Nathan, is that your hand still up or?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, does anyone ever find that someone will, you know, in this scenario, someone's stolen from you? There's a little part of me that's definitely thinking, amazed that you had the audacity to steal from me, because it's true that we're not all, you know, we're not all physically dangerous people. You know, God wants us to be peacemakers, but the fact that someone would disrespect you enough, or they would think so less of you that they could steal from you and just get away with it and then continue to live their regular life. You know, so I definitely believe that pride. So you're asking, where does the bad feelings when someone sins against you and you need to forgive them, where did the feelings come from?
Mm.
Definitely got something to do with pride. That doesn't mean that there's not stuff that people can do that is going to genuinely hurt you. But I'm saying sometimes it's pride, you know, just coming in.
Cool, cool, cool. Interesting. Tyler, Rudo, any subsequent answers?
Sorry, Reese, please could you repeat?
It was just asking, because you said generally speaking that, you know, people could be justified in how they're feeling when they've been sinned.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can overdo it sometimes. So in the case of someone overdoing it or not overdoing it, just someone feeling hurt, what do you think is causing the hurt? And we're looking at the example of, say, someone stole £10 from you. What is it in that situation that's causing hurt?
I think it's also the disrespect and the fact that you stole something that was mine. I think that it triggers something within someone to kind of respond. I think that's what I would say.
Interesting, interesting. Cool, cool, cool. Tyler, any additions?
Not really. Kind of hard to articulate what the main reason is.
Cool, 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 cool. All right, let's go to an example, right? In fact, we actually have studied this story a few weeks ago. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 21, and we're going to read a bit of the story that we didn't actually read before. And so what I don't want to do with this is I don't want to say that all feelings that we have when we are wronged are not justified. That's definitely not what I'm saying. But there is an element that Nathan was talking about where there is, what is the reason why we're getting upset? Is it because we feel like we own something that we actually never owned? One of the devil's tricks that he uses on us is to make us feel like we own something that we never owned. Be it the church, be it our house, be it our lives, be it our body. You know, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost and they're not our own. Right? So when we, so part of this being upset when someone wrongs you, you know, is this idea that, you know, that money was mine. I feel disrespected. I feel like, how do they have the audacity to steal from me? You know what I mean? That kind of feeling. And not to say any of those feelings are necessarily, I don't want to just say all of those feelings are bad and horrible. You should never feel that way. But it's also just having a reflective spirit of where are those feelings actually coming from and how much of those are genuinely something that I should be feeling and how much of that is my actual pride. But how much does £10 actually affect my life versus, and is my heart going out to the person who stole it? Am I thinking, wow, like that person really needs Jesus? Is that my thought, or is my thought like, let me get my £10 back and cuss them out for what they did. Daniel, and then we're going to go to Numbers 21. Good.
The kind of person I am, I'm listening to this scenario and I'm thinking £10 is not really much. But then, to me, ain't no one I know that would ever rob me. I say that in confidence because I know none of y'all are stupid, innit? But at the same time, I think if any of my friends ever got to the point where they felt they'd have to rob me, why are they not talking to me? Why have they not said, Daniel, I'm dying of hunger, or I can't drink, I have no lights in my yard, you get me? Why have you not spoken to me and communicated that there's an issue, bro? Because you tell me that your house is breaking down around you, I'll be like, yo, listen, I've got a house, there's sofas there, come sleep, you get me, there's food in the fridge. I don't understand that side of it, because it makes no sense to me. And honestly, that in itself would be a more painful thing, to know that it was one of my people that took from me because they couldn't say that they were in such a bad situation.
I hear it for sure. So yeah, let's read. I said Numbers 21, it's Numbers 12. Numbers chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 10 to verse 14. Just to give some backdrop, we did actually read 1 to 9 a few studies ago when we were talking about meekness. But just to give a bit of backdrop of this story, right? Miriam and Aaron, being Moses' brother and sister, were not happy with his wife, that he married an Ethiopian woman. So let's just call it what it is, racism there. And then they also presumed that, hey, we hear from God too. You know, Aaron's a priest, Miriam's there, you know, God can talk to us too. What do we need Moses for? That was what they were saying, right? And in amongst them doing this, Moses did nothing. Moses didn't cuss them out. He didn't say, how dare you? He didn't say, you didn't see me coming from the mountain. Moses did nothing, right? And at which God came down and spoke to all three of them quite frankly and said, come to the tabernacle. So they go to the tabernacle, and basically God just lays down to Aaron and Miriam exactly where they stay and where Moses stays in this hierarchy. He's like, look, I talk to, get it right, you guys aren't prophets, and I talk to prophets in dreams and in visions. Me, I talk to Moses face to face, mouth to mouth is where I talk to Moses. So understand, like, where Moses is with me and where you are with me is two different places. When you say, I hear from God, no, seriously, you don't put yourself in Moses' bracket. Yeah, me and Moses are tight. So much so that God took Moses up after he died in heaven, right? And so God came to Moses' defense, right? After they had both been racist to his wife and was ready to almost take him out from leadership, right? And so we're going to see Moses' response to this. Now, for me, if someone was like that to my wife and was about to mess up with my job, like, I feel like you'd be pretty justified to be angry with those people, especially if they're your brother and sister. They should know better, right? If anyone was coming for rebellion or whatever it is, it shouldn't be Aaron and Miriam, right? And so you'd think that Moses is really justified in how in feeling a certain type of way to his brother and sister. Totally justified, right? But how does Moses respond? So we're going to read verse 10 to verse 14. Someone can read.
Say that verse again, Reese.
Numbers chapter 12, yep. And then verse 10 to 14. Sorry, 10 to 14, not 12 to 14, 10 to 14.
And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if our father had not spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again.
Awesome. What was Moses' response? He and his wife just got cussed out. What was Moses' response?
he felt pity for them straight away.
Straight away found pity. He was justified to say, yeah, continue with your leprous self. Don't chat to me again. Very justified in saying that, right? His emotional state could have been that quite easily. And we would have all said, yeah, yeah, to be fair, yeah, that's what she deserved. In fact, it was so much what she deserved that God did what she deserved to get, right? But Moses straight away prayed to God to heal her. And it was God that said, you know what, all right, fine, I'll heal her, but she's gonna have to take the proper precautions and take the days out of the camp, etc., before she gets healed, right? But Moses was happy for her to get healed straight away. And so when we look at this idea of forgiveness and we're asking ourselves, well, are we sometimes feeling a bit too hurt by someone's wrongdoing to us? Maybe sometimes we are. Maybe sometimes it is more about us and more about our hurt and more about our feelings and more about our feelings of ownership or our feelings of needing respect or needing whatever we need, and less about actually God and less about the person. If that makes sense. And just something to think about. Daniel, your hand is up. Is that so? Because you want to say something? No? Okay. Good. All right. Everyone got that? Anyone have comments on this? No? Yes, no? All right, cool. All right, next question. Next question. Have I really forgiven someone if I remember the wrong that they've done to me? Question. Have I really forgiven someone if I still remember the wrong they've done?
Excuse me, guys. Does no one feel like this topic right here, this area of forgiveness, is a very sticky one? Because what I want to say is, no, you haven't. Because I feel like I've seen in the Bible in multiple places that God forgives us and he remembers it no more, yeah? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. However, as I know all of you can think of situations where you don't just want to walk into the same situation again and get treated and get hurt or get abused or whatever like you've been. And so, you know, the question is God against us learning from those mistakes? To answer the question, I would say no. If you're still thinking about the wrong that they've done, then no. But I do believe that you can learn little things. If you need to know not to be around a certain person, then that sounds practical to me.
Okay. Interesting. No one else?
I think you can forgive someone and still remember. Don't know if that's right or not, but it depends if you truly forgive them. Like, if I've truly forgiven you and if I see you again, I might remember, but then I'll dismiss it straight away, or just like, we've passed that, I've forgiven them for this stuff that I didn't hold that against them. So I think, as Ruben said, you can forgive, but you don't sometimes forget, because, and as Nathan mentioned, because you don't, maybe it's a lesson for you, maybe you need to learn that lesson.
Interesting. Okay. Anyone else? Feel free to agree or disagree.
I think I agree. I think you can forgive someone and still remember it. Because, like, it's going to be like 2 months down the line and someone's like, oh, do you remember that person did that to you? But, like, yeah, I remember, but I forgive him. But I feel like it depends if you get riled up in that moment when someone brings it back up again. I don't know.
Okay, let's not think about forgiveness as like forgetting as in like you can't even remember the thing happening. I think that's impossible. Like, I don't think you'll get to the point where you can completely forget. Like, we can't order our mind like that. But there is, when it means forgetting, it's more saying like there is nothing changed from before that thing happened. So from before to after, nothing is different.
I was with you, and she said, "Is the same as before." Because let's say you lend someone a considerable amount of money, let's say 10k, and they've lied and they've done nothing that they said they were going to do that 10k, and they've just squandered it.
Yeah.
And then I can forgive you, but it's not going to be the same. I'm not giving you the 10k again. That doesn't make sense.
Okay, cool. All right, interesting. Now I hear that. Nathan?
I'm Marlene. I'm here with Nathan.
Okay.
Nice to join you. I think that forgiveness can only be achieved through forgiveness through Christ. If somebody's hurt you, you have to pray and ask the Lord to take that hurt from you and to help you to be able to forgive. Because in ourselves as human, we can't forgive because we haven't got it in us, because we've fallen, we're in sin. And it's only through Christ that we can get true forgiveness, asking the Lord to truly help us to forgive the person. And then when you come in contact with them again, it won't hurt as much and you won't have to bring it up again.
So let me ask you this question then while you're there. If you said to someone, I've got something really important, could you meet me at this place at this time? And they said, yep, I definitely will meet you there. And it was like a life or death situation and you needed this person, right? And they didn't show up and it really hurt you, right? And then would you, and then you forgave them, everything is okay, but you didn't ask them to do that again. Is that true forgiveness? Would you have to be able to go to them and ask them to do exactly the same thing for the forgiveness to be fully genuine? Or is it okay for you to forgive them, but just not to trust them in that way again? Does that make sense?
Yeah, you can forgive, but you don't have the same amount of trust.
Okay.
Because they didn't turn up at the time. And if they're going to put you in a situation where you know that you're probably in danger or something like that, it depends on what they've really done to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have forgiven them, but you're not going to go in the same, put yourself in the same situation again.
Can cool. I
think you and Tyler are sitting on the same bench there. Yeah, go ahead, Nathan, and then we'll go Daniel.
Just a quick one. Guys, what we're saying here, it sounds so real, it sounds so practical about, you know, like you don't really forget what's gone on. Even if you treat them like, you know, you've forgotten. What's a little bit mad is we've all been thinking of this from our perspective. Can you imagine from God's perspective, exactly, if we did whatever we did and he forgave us,
yeah,
and then he treated us like he remembered what we did? So imagine, you know, just I do whatever I'm doing, and we can think of so many different examples, but none are coming to mind right now. And then imagine if God treated me like he remembered that. That would be mad, because I wouldn't be getting the same, I almost want to say I wouldn't be getting the same grace from God if he remembered what I've done. And that the only reason that's hitting me so hard is because that's almost making it me think, you know, do we need to also be graceful to people? But it's a weird one, because we've already established that we're not trying to put ourselves in harm's way all the time. Especially, what if it's not you? What if it's your family, your son, your daughter, your mom? You know what I'm saying? Your grandparent. Yeah. You know, then it becomes so much deeper. Wow.
For sure. Mad. Daniel.
I think I'm siding with my brother on this one. I don't feel it. I don't know how to explain it. I'm just going to tell you my example. Me and Jerome have been friends for the longest of times, yeah? And I remember when Jerome was at uni, he did something. I cannot remember exactly what it was. Can't ask me and I can't remember. But I know it vexed me. And for a couple of days, I didn't talk to him. I didn't call him, didn't text him, no communication either way. And then I saw him on Sabbath at church. And there was nothing left in me with any resistance, any kind of rejection. Bruv, it was just cool. It's happened. It's over. And I genuinely cannot remember. Maybe if you'd asked me right after it happened, I could. But it's just vanished from me. And that's someone I can say I could forgive for anything. But I can't, with a conscious mind now, look at forgiving people the same way. Because if I don't do it, then God can't do it for me. Because we clearly established that with our other question. So then, yeah, it leaves you in a kind of stuck situation in your soul.
Yeah, this is where it gets deep. It's if God forgives me to the same extent that I forgive someone else, and I'm not sure necessarily the text was saying that specifically, because, I mean, I can never forgive someone to the same extent God has forgiven me. So in that sense, there is an impracticality there. But if God forgives to the same extent I forgive someone else, then do I need to match God's type of forgiveness that God forgives me with? As Nathan and Daniel were saying, there is an element where it's, you know, God doesn't treat me any differently after I've sinned, once I've asked for forgiveness. In fact, he treats me like Christ. And so therefore, if someone wrongs me, how do I protect myself, as Tyler was saying, and as others have said, but while still being able to truly forgive them? It's a bit of a tricky one. We're actually going to come back to this in a minute. But yeah, food for thought. All right, next question. Can I forgive someone who hasn't asked me for forgiveness? Like, does forgiveness need to be a two-way street? Do I need to reconcile with someone? Go ahead, Clarissa.
I think you can. I remember having a discussion with someone who was kind of holding a grudge, and they were like, well, this person, I was saying to them about how I think they need to forgive them. And they were like, no, but like, they haven't asked for my forgiveness, so I can't forgive them. But I thought of like Jesus on the cross when, you know, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so when I think of that, I'm like, well, all of those people weren't asking for God's forgiveness then, or Jesus's forgiveness, but he was still wanting to forgive them. So that's kind of my train of thought there.
I hear that. Okay, so we agree that, you know, you can forgive someone, given Jesus' example, without them necessarily asking for forgiveness. Do you then need to tell them that you've forgiven them? So for this forgiveness to actually take form, and for you to actually feel like it's a pure clean slate, do you need to say, you know what, even if they can't admit they're wrong, or they haven't, do you need to go, you know what, we're good, and just say, basically, essentially what I'm asking is, do you need to reconcile with someone, even if they don't acknowledge they're wrong, do you still need to reconcile? Or is it just a personal thing? Is forgiveness just for me? For me in my head, and it's nothing to do with them? That's my question. Daniel, you go, and then Nathan.
I think in some situations you need to alert people. In other situations, it's not always necessary. I think if someone has not tried, sometimes bridges burn. That's just life, isn't it? Like, some people you used to talk to, some people you don't talk to no more. Not that you specifically went out your way not to talk to them, but you faded. Other people, an incident happened and you got over it, but you didn't necessarily decide to reconnect. Other people, you make the effort to stay in touch with. It depends on how you feel about the person, I guess, on that level. But I don't think it's either personal or I don't think it's one or the other. I think it depends on what it is, because you could know you've hurt somebody without them ever knowing, and vice versa.
I hear that, Nathan?
I couldn't probably properly hear it when you were saying it earlier, but I think someone brought this metaphor of forgiveness like a stream. So I'm assuming it was something like, you know, forgiveness flows from God and it flows into us, and then it flows from us into other people. Was it? I don't know if it was that type of thing.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly.
I'm thinking, guys, if forgiveness is something, is just something that we, you know, we do, then I think it becomes a little bit harder for us, because we're so aware of this person did this to me and now I've got to forgive them, and it's so arduous. But to land my plane, where the if you have a forgiving spirit, if you've actually practiced so much forgiveness that forgiveness has become you, then forgiveness is just your natural way of life. Yeah. So you're someone that just, like, things happen every single day, and you're forgiven every single day because God, thank God, that he's made that your character.
Yeah.
It'd be beautiful to get to that place. I'm not there yet, but it sounds to me like we can get to the point where God's forgiveness is actually flowing through us constantly.
I can, yeah. That.
For sure. Yeah, just to add on to that, I feel like forgiveness, I don't think forgiveness necessarily needs reconciliation in the same, in how we're talking, but I do think that can be a ministry. And so I don't think it needs to be forgiveness for it to be forgiveness. But I do feel like sometimes you being able to show love to someone and letting them know that it's all good, and that, you know, and it doesn't need to be in a way that's like, oh, I've forgiven you, so say sorry kind of thing. It's not like in that way, but in a way that's like, that you don't, yeah, don't worry about it anymore, we're good. Like, I still show love to that person, can be a witness to them, can help them understand God's forgiveness and God's love. And so sometimes it is worth going out of your way to and it's worth feeling uncomfortable for that to have that moment. And in fact, we're going to talk about this whole feeling uncomfortable thing just now. But I feel like it's not necessarily needed to be forgiveness. Like, you can forgive someone without having to go and reconcile with them. But it may be worth doing so in certain situations, based on the fact that thus God has called us to be ambassadors for him, if that makes sense. So there was a text that I wanted to go to, and that can line us up for our last question. In fact, this is a text that leads from the last question. So the question about, have I really forgiven someone if I remember they're wrong? If someone wants to read Proverbs 17:9, it may just give a little insight before we go into our last question. Proverbs 17:9.
And it reads, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends.
Awesome. And so just before we go to our last question, this text is alluding to the fact that with forgiveness, it's quite easy to say that you've forgiven someone and to say that it's all good and to say, you know, everything's fine. And obviously you're still probably going to remember what they did that was wrong to you. And there was a danger there in allowing the memory to fester and allowing those feelings to come back. And so forgiveness is sometimes a daily forgiving. Sometimes you need to forgive someone multiple times. And you need to stay in the mindset of, you know what, it's likely that this memory of this thing is going to come out and I need to know how to deal with it. And, you know, the text is saying, you know, a repeated repeating the matter can separate very good friends. And so, you know, it's worth just understanding that those feelings may arrive again. And because you've forgiven that person, it may end up disrupting your friendship again. So it's worth just understanding, you know what, that person may have been disloyal, they may have stolen, they may have gossiped about me, whatever that is, just to keep that forgiving spirit constantly in you, because if you still remember that it is done, it's still got a potential to come back and bite you. And so forgiveness is an ongoing process. It's not just the in the moment, okay, I've forgiven you and that's it. It's a continual cycle. Okay, so the last question, and this was the title of the study. What kind of forgiveness is expected of me? And we've touched on this throughout this whole study, or this discussion, shall I say. What kind of forgiveness is expected of me? And there's several different types of forgiveness. There's very basic forgiveness, which some, you know, you could argue is it forgiveness at all? And it ranges all the way to what God's forgiveness is like. And so you have to ask the question, what kind of forgiveness is expected of me? So we're going to go to Matthew 5, 38 and 39. In fact, Tyler mentioned this text already. So Matthew chapter 5, 38 and 39. But before we go there, I would suggest that the lowest form of forgiveness, and you guys can let me know if you've ever done this, I know I've done this, is a disconnecting yourself from the situation. So it's very passive aggressive. It's very non-confrontational. So what would happen if someone does something bad to you, instead of dealing with it, you say, you know what, I'm over it. Use those words, I'm over it, and you shut it off. You don't end up talking to the person again. You end up running away from that situation. But because you feel no way about it, at least consciously, you feel like you've forgiven them and you've kind of moved past the situation, right? That is like the lowest form of forgiveness. In fact, you can really argue whether that's forgiveness at all. And it's something that we need to grow from. Go ahead, Tyler.
What to say? Is that even forgiveness?
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. But it's something that happens a lot. I say it's the lowest form of forgiveness because we call it forgiveness. Like I know people who are like who may have, for example, someone, they've been in a relationship and someone's cheated on them, and they've left the relationship. They don't talk to them anymore. They don't want to be around them anymore. But because they don't feel that hurt about it anymore, they feel like they're like, yeah, I've forgiven them. It's over. I'm done with it. I don't hate them. That's those words. I don't hate them anymore, but they've never really. You don't see that person anymore. You haven't dealt with the situation, and you left and you ran away, and that could be that could be running away from a workplace. That could be running away from a church. That could be running away from a relationship. It could be whatever. Nathan, go ahead.
It's actually not Nathan.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I'm just using this one. I think it's Daniel who said, he said earlier about certain bridges have to burn.
Yeah.
I think forgiveness is absolute. I had a personal situation, you know, not too long ago, where certain things happened and I was still in the same team as the people who basically sort of, you know, kind of in my head wronged me. And I had to get on with it until I started praying for them. When I started praying for them, suddenly, because remember, forgiveness is not necessarily an exercise for the person who has wronged you. It's for you to be able to move on. And henceforth, why I think, you know, forgiveness is absolute. It's either that or it will eat you and continue eating until there's nothing left. and it cripples you. Because one thing I'm learning, I'm in my other half of the century. So one thing I have learned is that sometimes those things that we haven't reconciled, those situations, and I'm talking about forgiveness, we haven't reconciled, suddenly manifest themselves in other ways. Because then when you suddenly have to sit in front of everybody and they are asking you questions, but why do you think this is such? And then suddenly you realize that there are certain things you didn't resolve. And I think forgiveness is that very thing that will make you unravel in the long run. And unless you actually deal with the situation, sometimes it may mean having to have those uncomfortable conversations with people, just to not only for you to be able to move forward, but for them also to be untangled by your toxic emotionality. You see what I'm saying? Because let me tell you, you know, like sometimes people can see, you know, like when you look at somebody's eyes, you can see that they're harboring something that they ain't telling you. And the eyes have a way of giving you away. And me personally, as the guy I am, I'm a very upfront. I'm the same to everyone. And if something's bothering me, people do see. But one thing I have learned is that as Christians, let me tell you something, as a Christian, I'm learning that, you know, sometimes humans are just human. Sometimes humans will do stuff that they don't really even think about the ramifications of what they have done. And you, as a Christian, you have to take it in your stride. And going back to Nathan's point, about what he was alluding to earlier ago is that, you know, it has to be in your nature to forgive. Mm-hmm. You know, and if we haven't asked God to give us that muscle, if it is a muscle to forgive, we will find that, you know, we will keep on, you know, having to deal with the same situation over and over again, and then we wonder why we are the way we are. I don't know if it makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you. That's for sure. I think, Tyler, you go. I know you had your hand up briefly, and then let's see.
To be fair, I think you covered it. I'm not going to repeat.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right. I was going to say, I say that this is the lowest form of forgiveness, and you can argue whether it is forgiveness. But I think us as humans, we need to grow in our forgiveness. I think, you know, for some people, being able to say, I don't hate that person is a form of victory. You know, some people, you know, when they've gone through such pain, for example, you know, if your child had been murdered or your child has been molested or someone had, you know, all sorts of craziness has happened, right? So for you to get to the point where you can say, you know what, I'm distancing myself away from that person. I can't speak to them. I can't look at them. But you know what, I can't harbor the hatred anymore in my heart. Yes, you're not fully there. You haven't reached the heights of forgiveness yet. But that in itself is a form of victory, right? And so there's elements of this. That there is a growth system. You're not going to jump all the way to the text that we're about to jump into. I don't think it's possible for us to go all the way there all the time. But sometimes we just need to build this up to the point where we can say, you know what? Okay, my ill feelings towards this person, I can say that I've put them behind me. Now, I don't know if I'm ready to necessarily like talk to them or fully reconcile yet, but I can at least say that I'm not constantly thinking about this person and hating them. And then God can take you through different stages of that as you grow in grace with him. And so that's why I mentioned that initial one. It's not great. It's not the best way to forgive someone, but it's definitely a start. So yeah, that's number one. Any other comments on that before we Mm-hmm.
Is it forgiveness if you've just forgotten?
Is it forgiveness if you've just forgotten?
If you've distanced yourself, which I feel like that's a step that is necessary at times.
Yeah.
Okay, you've distanced yourself, but then you haven't really forgiven them. Like, let's say you bump into them 10 years later, you still got those feelings, or something, let's say someone cheated on you, and now you go into your next relationship with that sort of baggage because you're not forgiven them. You might think you're over it, but you're still thinking, oh, what if this person does this because of X? I don't know.
I wouldn't say forgetting is forgiving. No. But I do think, basically, from what I was just saying, I think, for example, someone who's going to get who've been cheated and left their relationship, right? There needs to be stages to how they get over that emotional baggage. And so, you know, if they jumped into a next relationship, yeah, they're going to have problems. But if after a month they came to the conclusion that, you know, okay, I can think about this person in my mind without having bad thoughts against them. You know, yes, you haven't actually dealt with the issue fully yet. Yes, you haven't fully forgiven them yet. But it is, you are on the road. You are on the path to get there. And so there, I think there is, as I said, there is elements to this where it's not always 0 to 100. It's not always, rah, I hate this person. Every time I think of them, I could strangle them, to the point where we're about to get to. I don't think, you know, you can necessarily always jump from 0 to 100, especially when the trauma is that bad. Yeah, maybe if someone steals £10 from you, but it's a whole lot different when it's really a traumatic experience. And so sometimes it's just, you need patience. You need patience then to go through, as you said, go through distancing, start to deal with the emotion, how you emotionally you feel that person before you can even, again, like you said, actually go and meet them. Maybe that is further down the line. That's further once God has worked on your heart a bit more. But there is stages to how you build that up practically. That makes sense?
It makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay, so the next form of forgiveness is kind of what we've been talking about a lot, which is forgiveness of, I don't feel bad anymore, I can talk to them, we're quite friendly, there's no issues, but me and them, like, there's no trust there. So me and them are not going back into that situation again. Whatever situation that led you to hurt me, I'm not putting you back in the place where you could do it again. And so, yeah, I've forgiven you. I'm happy. I wish you well. We're all good. But I don't trust you, and I'm not putting you back in that place. Nathan, go ahead.
Hey, it's Uncle Lou again.
Oh, okay, so okay.
Yeah, I remember, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Pastor McFarlane. We used to be the BUC, used to be the BUC president a while back. He in one of his messages in my local church, he says he remembers a situation when he was a young pastor where they had to disfellowship a young lady for something. But for him, he says, if he knew what he knew when he preached the sermon, he would have never done it that way, because when he did it, it wasn't from a point of love. You see what I'm saying? So when I forgive, it has to be from a place of love. So, because I think sometimes we when we are in a situation, when somebody wrongs us, we already have sorted out in our mind how we want them to be punished. Or when we forgive them again, we have a soundtrack and an idea. We want this person to be so So you know, yeah, apologetic, and so, you know, the music has to be playing right, and me, I have to feel it in my heart that this person is really sorry about what they have done. You know what I'm saying? So Nathan has to be playing the keyboards, you know, like some soft music in the back, and the choir has to be oohing and ahhing at the back, you know, whilst me, I receive this thing which I think is mine, you know, to get, because, you know, you suddenly, you know, but in essence, but it's not about me. You see what I'm saying? I think, you know, many of us as Christians, more so as Christians, you suddenly realize that a lot of the things, a lot of the situations that we go through are not about us, because in every situation that we find ourselves in, it's more a lesson that we are being taught. And when we suddenly look at things as from a point, I know sometimes it feels naive and very simplistic, but this is a thing I'm learning after therapy, for lack of a better way to put it. After therapy is that, you know, if I'm okay with it, then everything is okay. You see what I'm saying? So if in my sense, nothing from outside can restore me except me and God. You see what I'm saying? So if forgiveness is in my nature to forgive, then I'm cool with it. So if suddenly I'm thinking, you know, the other person doesn't really have to factor in. That's why I was saying to Nathan about the whole thing about, you know, why God, I think, you know, when we forget a situation after it's happened to us, it's God. Because for that very moment, I think God is, in us forgetting, is God's way of saying, you know what? I know if this person, if Lungani continues with this train of thought, having to try and reconcile and get to the bottom of this offense against him, is going to go down a rabbit hole that he won't be able to come out of. So God, in his wisdom, causes me to forget. And then, so that at least, maybe during my forgetfulness, I get to build muscles to be able to deal with the situation if it arises again. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm a believer in a God who is absolute in his wisdom and his ability to deal with this fragile human being that he created. And I know he deals with my situation individually. You know what I'm saying? So I think in this case, probably, maybe I'm naive in my old age, you know, but I think there has to be a simpler way. I think when we forgive, there has to be an element of being able to restore those relationships, because there's nothing as bad as saying, you know, oh, that's an ex-friend. An ex-friend. I mean, I don't think I have any ex-friends, you know what I'm saying? I know people either fall out of a relationship and say, you know, that person is my ex, meaning that, you know, I don't want anything to do with them. But I think relationships, there's nothing as beautiful as relationships, and being able to, you know, restore a relationship and you know.
See, this is sounding interesting, because does God want us to cut people out of our lives?
That's the thing.
Does God want us to cut people out of our lives, guys? Because the things people do where it 100%, you know, Reese, what you were just saying about, like, you know, this area of forgiveness where we're on, where you get up and you walk away, and even though you try to kill it so there's no hard feelings or anything like that, you know, that part is done. I'm just thinking, I'm trying to think, is that a godly thing? Talk to me, guys.
Again, I wouldn't necessarily call it godly, in the sense that there is still higher levels of forgiveness to reach. But again, it's a process. So if you can move from pure hatred to the first thing that we mentioned, to the second thing we've mentioned, then you know what, we're moving in the right direction. But the last form we're going to read, someone could read Matthew 5:39. So the text that Tyler mentioned earlier, Matthew 5:39. In fact, if you could read 38 and 39, that'd be great.
Ye have heard that it have been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also.
Awesome. Okay. So this text is describing godly forgiveness. This is the forgiveness level that God wants us to reach to. And here it is explained. I feel like this text needs some explanation, because I feel like sometimes maybe it is misunderstood or maybe even misused. Turning the other cheek is not a fighting style. It's not to say when someone hurts you, you shouldn't fight back. That's not what the text is talking about. I'm not saying you should fight back, but that's not what the text is talking about. The text isn't talking about, you know, if someone bites you, then, you know, make sure you don't defend yourself. That's not what it's talking about, right? The text is talking about a type of forgiveness. And let me explain it this way, right? If someone slaps you on your cheek, right? Someone slaps you on your cheek, and then your next action towards them is you offering up your other cheek. What do you think they would be thinking?
Stupidity.
Stupidity. That is definitely one reaction. What's another reaction? Or even along the lines, I mean, it's probably partly stupidity, partly this. Anyone? I feel like someone would be thinking, why are they offering up their other cheek? Like, it doesn't make sense to offer up your other cheek. Like, if someone steals from you, to invite them back into your house and not follow them around your house, it seems really stupid. If someone cheated on you and you stayed in the relationship, seems silly. If someone, you know, fill in the blank, anything wrong, any sin that someone could commit against you, was disloyal, gossips, whatever it is, and they gossip or they shared a secret that you shared with them and you still shared another secret with them. This action is godly, because that's how God woos us. God doesn't see our wrong, and when he's forgiven us, as Nathan said a little bit ago, he doesn't forgive us but say, I'm not giving you that opportunity again. It's in him giving us the opportunity we're able to grow and be better. So in you offering up someone your other cheek, it gives them the opportunity to say, I'm not going to hit you this time. And so you offer your cheek up, not so they can hit you again, but in hope that they won't hit you. That's why you're not saying, you just bit me, here you go, bite me again. You're not doing that. You're offering up your cheek so they can actually kiss you instead of slap you. that you're giving them the opportunity to say, you know what, yeah, this person is actually being nice to me. Let me not act in the same way I did. Let me be better. That is what offering up the cheek is. It's so you can get a kiss, not a slap. And so there is an element of this forgiveness that is that if you can restore someone to the exact position they were before, it helps them to grow or gives them the potential to grow. And so when I was talking about this idea of not having ownership over yourself, not having ownership of your money, of your time, it's all God's, of your resources, it's all God's. So if you have that mindset and you have that attitude towards your life, then offering up a cheek should be easy. Because ultimately you're just offering up what God has given you. Okay, if he steals £100, you know what? It's God's money. After all, he's asked me to do this. It can become so much less, as we've talked about ourselves. And it becomes more about the person we're trying to reach. What do you guys think? Maybe a lot to digest. Tyler?
Honestly, I think you will agree.
Yeah. It's just difficult. It's difficult. Especially, as I said, in places where there's traumatic experiences, when it's a really emotional experiences, when someone has been violent, when someone has been disloyal, when someone has really done something that's really grated on you. Yes, there's some things that, you know, are bad, but you can get over. There's other things that are really, really deep and really hard hitting. And sometimes, you know, we can't reach this level of forgiveness straight away. And this is what I was saying. Sometimes we need to go through the previous steps to get here. Sometimes God needs to work on our heart a little bit more. And that's what ultimately why he might have allowed it to happen, to allow you to grow in that aspect. And so, you know, don't necessarily beat yourself up because you haven't necessarily reached the full extent of God's forgiveness. But it is somewhere where we should be aspiring to. It's a work that God is trying to do in us. And so that is the ultimate goal. Any other questions about forgiveness before we close a little bit over the hour? No, okay. Someone want to pray? I'll leave it open. Whoever wants to pray can pray.
Can I pray?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. David Father, thank you for us the opportunity to have this Bible study. Help us to be more forgiving and help us have a spirit like you, and help us to take it as a learning process that step by step and day by day we become more like you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. This one has been really interesting. Much love and have a great Sabbath, guys.